Welcome to Exploring Bible Prophecy with our teacher, Steve Butler. The scriptures cannot be correctly understood, rightly divided if you will, if the prophetic sections are ignored. Open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, as well as Daniel chapter 12, as we explore Bible prophecy.
In our program today, we're picking up where we left off in our last program, and that's on our worksheet entitled, Why Explore Bible Prophecy? And we were getting into the first scripture in point number two on our worksheet. If you're if you're joining us for the first time today, I highly recommend that you go to the radio station website here at whcbradio.org and look for Exploring Bible Prophecy and locate this worksheet, again, entitled Why Explore Bible Prophecy. And it will greatly benefit you in the sense that it will give you all of the scriptures that we are using to comment on from the Bible, each of these 13 points to justify exploring Bible prophecy and what it means to us and why we should do that and why it glorifies God to do so. So again, if you can make your way there or perhaps call the station and perhaps they can help you in locating that handout, because it's there for your benefit and for your resource for future reference. So let's go to point number two in the handout, Why Explore Bible Prophecy. And we were in the book of 2 Timothy, as justification for the point that the scriptures cannot be correctly understood or rightly divided if the prophetic sections are ignored. And remember, the prophetic section of the Bible, if you put them all together, would be about, roughly 30% of the Bible. And you'll recall when we put our hand in the book of Daniel and our other hand in the end of book of Revelation, it gives you a visualization in a hard copy of the Bible, just how much of the Bible is prophecy and how much would be left out of God's word if you chose not to study the prophetic sections. So if you would, take your Bible and let's go to 2 Timothy. And if you're fairly new to your Bible, and I think that's wonderful that you're in your Bible if you're new to it, that if you can find the New Testament, starting with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books are called the four Gospels, and then you get into Acts and Romans and then 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and then through the smaller books of Galatians, Ephesians, and all the way into what I call the big T's, which are Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and then right after that are 1st and 2nd Timothy, and then after Timothy you find Titus. So I call them the T books, from longest to shortest, and we're in the middle one there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. You can actually have fun working your way through the scriptures and learning where they all are. And again, that's one of the goals here at Exploring Bible Prophecy, is to bring you to a better understanding of and a comfort level in working with your scriptures. These God-breathed words that were given to us. You know, it's interesting when you look at the history of the Bible, you find that it's written over about a 1,500-year period, 1,500 years from the earliest of the writings to the writings of John and Revelation at the end of the first century after Christ, or the first century A.D., they call it. And it's written by over 40 different authors who wrote and spoke three different languages, lived on three different continents, and had job descriptions all the way from king to tax collector. And the vast majority of them, for obvious reasons, time-wise, the vast majority did not know each other, but they all wrote exactly the same basic essence, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the only way that can happen is for God to do it through the leading of His Holy Spirit. And so it's the Holy Spirit working through each of those individuals that wrote God's word for mankind from Genesis to Revelation, laying out everything He wanted us to know about Himself everything he wanted us to know about his Messiah, everything he wanted us to know about his plans for mankind, and that he wanted us to know that he loved us. But he wanted us to love him back, volitionally, voluntarily, free will, to love him back. And if we would love him back, he would bless us beyond all belief. And that's all laid out in the scripture. And you can know that for yourself if you simply study the scriptures. And that's why we're here, is to help you explore Bible prophecy and see just what God has in store for those who love him. And he also has a word in store for those who refuse him through refusing his son. He has plans for them as well, and they're very sad, and we'll get into all of that. So again, we're in 2 Timothy, long way of getting to a short book. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're in verse 15 that says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." And we want to focus in on the fact that it's a workman. This is not something that you just put the book under your Bible and you get it through osmosis. And I would suggest that you not totally rely on someone else. No matter how much confidence you have in that person is still a human being, and they should not be your only source of information about what the Bible says. Because we know from human history that that's what's gotten nations into trouble. It certainly has gotten the quote-unquote religions into trouble, because man cannot help but be influenced by Satan, who hates everything about the truth of the Bible. And he can even take the best theologians and whisper in their ear. So we need to be very careful about where we get our information. And the best place, really the only place to get the infallible truth, is the Word of God. So he's saying we need to be a workman in that regard. We need to put our effort and our time and our resources and our prayers into studying the Bible. But I wanted to pay particular attention to the verse, to the part of the verse that says accurately handling the Word of truth. The King James Version, I think, says it best when it says rightly dividing the truth, rightly dividing the Word of God, because people will say, why would you want to divide the Word of God? Why would you divide truth? Well, it's simply from understanding that when God spoke and is speaking to us through His Word, He's speaking to different groups of people, and we need to know who they are. And that will be hopefully made clear to you when we go through our teaching series on how to study the Bible inductively and how to understand who's being spoken to, by whom, about what, and what were the circumstances, so that you have an understanding of the context. Because in God's Word, you have to remember that roughly five-sixths of the Bible is about Israel. It's not about you. Or it doesn't apply specifically to you. It's not about you. And then the other sixth of the Bible is about the church. So when the Holy Spirit is speaking through these authors and telling us about God's plans, and at one time he's talking to Israel, at another time he's talking to the church, at another time he's talking to unbelievers in general. We oftentimes see them referred to as either Gentiles or Greeks, but they're unbelievers. So we need to understand who's being spoken to, by whom, about what, before we decide whether or not we can take a scripture and apply it to our lives. One of the sayings that I've heard several times is that the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books, the whole Bible is for us. It's for you. It's for me. But we need to understand that the whole Bible is not about us. Only a small portion of the Bible is actually about you and me and about the church. We can learn from the entire Bible. That's why it's for us. There are good principles in every book of the Bible, even though it's about Israel in a lot of cases. the principles that apply to Israel can be applied to us as well in a lot of instances. Not all, but a lot. And we learn how to differentiate, how to rightly divide the Word of God by proper study. So that's what we're about here at Exploring Bible Prophecy. So we want to be able to rightly divide the truth, and by doing that, we are edified, and it honors God that we understand when He's speaking to us and when He's speaking to someone else. And we can always learn from when God speaks to someone else, but we need to know whether or not it's to us and applies to us. So that's 2 Timothy 2:15. What I'd like now is for us to go to the right in our Bibles and go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, and if you're joining us right about now, we're in our handout, Why Exploring Bible Prophecy, and we're at point number 2, and we're getting ready to look at our second scripture listed there. It's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. And in chapter 3 of 2 Peter at verse 16, it says, and also in all his letters. So this is Peter talking about Paul. Paul, of course, was the apostle that was sent primarily to the Gentiles. Peter was sent primarily to the Jews. And I say primarily because the first Gentile convert listed in the Bible was converted through the witnessing of Peter. And the first place that Paul always went in all of his three missionary journeys throughout Turkey and Greece and the islands of the Mediterranean, he always went to the Jewish synagogues first, and then he went to the Gentiles in the area. So just because it says the apostle to the Gentiles or the apostle to the Jews doesn't mean that it's a great degree of exclusivity. So here's Peter talking about Paul's writings, and he says, verse 16, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. So Peter's trying to explain here at the very end of his last epistle, his last letter, 2 Peter, that yes, Paul's writings can sometimes be hard to understand, because remember the mysteries, a lot of the mysteries that were hidden in the Old Testament that we don't find there, that were made real and made understandable in the New Testament, were made by the Holy Spirit working through Paul. And it says that some of those are somewhat hard to understand, and therefore people have taken Paul's writings as well as the rest of the scriptures, as it says at the end of verse 16, and they have distorted them because they themselves are untaught and unstable. So again, the admonition, be careful where you turn to get your information about the Bible. If you're turning to individuals, that's fine if they're qualified people who love the Lord Jesus Christ and make that known to you, because there are people out there that have silver tongues, if you will. As it says, they tickle your ears, but they do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You need to be very careful who you turn to when you study the Scriptures, and the part of the Scripture that they particularly love to deal with and distort is prophecy, simply because people are drawn to those who have a very slick way of saying, hey, here's what the future is, and here's your involvement in it, and here's how you're going to be affected, and so forth and so on. So that's why we have the palm readers and the sorcery, all those sorts of things that are out there, that are all of Satan, that the only truth about the future comes from the Word of God, and we get that truth by studying the Word of God. So let's turn to our last scripture in point number 2, and that's back in the Old Testament. So we want to head back over a third of the Bible, back to Daniel, which we used as our visualization early on. So if you find Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, right after Ezekiel, you'll find Daniel. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel were all contemporaries. They wrote at the same time, and they were all involved in the Babylonian captivity. Ezekiel and Daniel in Babylon, and Jeremiah wrote from Israel for those who were left behind, but they all wrote at the same time, and just chock-a-block full of prophecy. So Daniel chapter 12, the very last chapter of Daniel, as he's summing things up here, and we want to go to chapter 12 and 8 through 10. And it says, as for me, I heard but could not understand. So I said, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these events? And these, of course, were the events listed above in chapter 12. Verse 9, he said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Verse 10, many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. And the point I wanted to be to make here by going all the way back into the Old Testament, you know, Daniel wrote, you know, like 565, 70 BC before Christ, was that he's saying at the end times, there are those who will have insight and understand what's going on. Now, they don't get this insight and understanding by some magical work of God or something like that. They get it through studying the Word. So those who understand because they've studied the Word and they know what God's plans are. God wants to hide nothing from us. He wants us to know everything about what He is going to do. All right, we want to answer a question, actually finish up answering a question that we've had from one of our listeners named Ron. So we will pick up our Why Explore Bible Prophecy on our worksheet at point number 3 in our next program. So let's go back to that question that Ron asked, and we will, finish answering it up today. And his question is, why doesn't the church have to experience the tribulation period like everyone else on the earth? And we went through Revelation 6 and Revelation 15 in our prior two programs, showing that the entire 7 years of the tribulation that is yet to come will be full of wrath, particularly the second half, but it will be wrath throughout. And we find that nowhere in the book of Revelation, in the chapters that describe the tribulation, so that's basically from Revelation 4 on through verse 19, we do not find any reference to the church in those descriptions of the wrath of God. And the reason we don't is we went through 1 Thessalonians, verse in Romans, and also in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, where it says that Jesus Christ will rescue his church, his believers, from the earth so that they don't experience the wrath that is to come on those who dwell on the earth. So it's only focused on the unbelievers that are on the earth. The believers in what is called the rapture will be removed from the earth so that God's attention can be placed back on Israel. Because remember, the primary purpose of the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation, is to bring God's people, Israel, to a saving knowledge of his Son. They have for 2,000 years denied him, yet there will be a remnant at the end of the tribulation, and it's going to take the horrors of the tribulation to bring them to this knowledge, to bring them to their literal and spiritual knees, if you will, that they will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So that will be a wonderful time for the nation of Israel when they come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, but it'll take the tribulation. Then we went into verses in John 16:33. We went to Acts 14:22. And we finished up last time in 2 Timothy 3:12, where we're pointing out that as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, all believers will experience persecution in the world. All believers will experience tribulation. And I call that the lowercase t tribulation, because while it is trial and tribulation, and it's suffering that can actually be realized in death, because there's been many, many, many Christians have lost their lives because of their professed belief in Jesus Christ. So these are tribulations that we experience on the earth, and we learned that we experience them because Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven without first having experienced these tribulations. And you ask, why? Why would God want to do that? Why would he cause his children to suffer these trials? It's because his son suffered these trials, and we are experiencing to a very minor extent in most cases. There are those that have become martyred because of their faith, which would be just like Jesus. But we all will experience to one degree or another what Jesus went through as our ultimate sacrifice on the cross. It's only his perfect sacrifice that allows us to, through accepting his sacrifice, his death, burial, and resurrection, to approach the sinless God through that perfect sacrifice. But in order to do that, we need to experience somewhat what Jesus went through. But it is nowhere near the wrath that will come upon the earth during the full 7-year tribulation. So just a couple of more verses here, and we'll wrap this up to see if we can answer Ron's question. So Ephesians chapter 6, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then you have 1 and 2 Corinthians, a little book of Galatians, and then right next door to Galatians we find Ephesians. We want to go to the last chapter, chapter 6. And let's look at verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So these trials, these tribulations that we're experiencing, they are all because of and happen through the leading of Satan through the unbelievers, through the unbelieving world. The Bible tells us that the world hates us for who we are, because we are, as we'll see in later studies, we are the restrainer of evil, because the Holy Spirit of God dwells within each and every one of us, and each and every one of us makes up the church of Jesus Christ. So we are the restrainer of evil. They cannot do all that they want to do as long as we're here. So they hate us for that, and they will suffer their consequences. But in the meantime, we will suffer trials and tribulations. All right, let's go to the book of John. So we're in Ephesians. We want to go back through Corinthians and Romans and Acts, and we get to the last of the four gospel books, the Gospel of John. We get to John chapter 15. And in John, starting at in chapter 13, and going forward through 17, we have what's called the Upper Room Discourse. The Upper Room Discourse, and this is where Jesus is in his Passion Week. This is the week that he is coming into Jerusalem for the last time, and he knows he's going to be crucified, but he also knows that he's going to be resurrected on the third day. And he's been telling his apostles, and really anybody that'll listen, about what's going to happen to him. And just prior to this, as he sat on the Mount of Olives with Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, he told them about the tribulation and what was going to come upon unbelieving Israel. But then he moves from there, and then right the day that he's going to be sold out, if you will, by Judas Iscariot, he has the Last Supper with his apostles in what's called the upper room. And in the upper room, he starts talking to them as soon as Judas leaves, because he goes out and kills himself. So you have the remaining 11 apostles there in this room with him, and he starts to tell them about what life is going to be like after he's gone and as the Holy Spirit comes into their lives, and what it's going to be like during what's called the church age, because these are all believers in Jesus Christ. They were alive after Jesus Christ was glorified, so they are members of the church. We're going to see them. They're not Old Testament saints that'll be resurrected to eternal life later on at the end of the tribulation. These are people that we're going to see as part of the church, as believers in Jesus Christ. And so this is a glorious set of chapters from 13 to 17 where he's talking, if you will, to the church. And in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." The world hates you because you love Jesus Christ. As hard as that is to believe, because you know what your future is, the world does not see it because they do not have the spiritual ears or the spiritual eyes that you do, because the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. Remember, if we don't talk again, I'll be seeing you in the air.
If you have a question for our teachers, be sure to submit it online at whcbradio.org. And remember, our special offer this month at WHCB is the Home Defense DVD from the biblically based Consider the Ant instructional series. For your offering of $25 or more, we'll be happy to make this DVD available to you. For more information, just call 878-6279. That's 423-878-6279. And ask for this month's offer. Exploring Bible Prophecy is a production of WHCB Radio. You can learn more by visiting whcbradio.org.